The projections come via the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments. Todd Harrison, the think tank's senior fellow for defense budget studies, has already warned that the previous version of sequestration that Congress canceled just after the new year would have had a disproportionate impact on civilian feds. But under the new version of sequestration, things are even worse for the 791,000 civil servants in DOD. While the overall dollar amount the new version of sequestration would cut is smaller, $45 billion instead of $62 billion, the cuts would now be crammed into just 7 months in fiscal year 13, a year in which DOD has already been spending money under the assumption that no cuts will be made.
That cut comes off of the total level of funding for the year. You know, by March 1st, DOD will already have spent 5 months worth of the money in those accounts. So they have to make up that 8.8% reduction in the remaining 7 months of the year. That means you have to reduce your payroll expenses for the remainder of the year by 15%. If you're going to reduce your payroll expenses by 15% for the remainder of the year, and you're going to do it through furloughs, that means you have to furlough virtually every single DOD civilian for the maximum amount of time you can under the law, which is 1 month.
Pentagon officials have also warned about the prospect of civilian furloughs under sequestration, but without as much specificity. Department spokesman George Little told reporters this week that DOD has no immediate plans to start issuing furlough notices. But Harrison says with regard to the operations and maintenance accounts that cover civilian payrolls, DOD would have no other option besides hiring freezes and furloughs. He says since the department chose to delay its planning for sequestration until late last year, the dire effects on the civilian workforce may have caught Pentagon planners somewhat by surprise.
I think, it would be a good public service for DOD to continue that detailed planning now and start to go public with it where it's appropriate. So, for example, before March 1st, they should go ahead and publicly notify all of their DOD civilian employees about their furlough plan. If sequestration happens, they should tell people, this is what's going to happen. Here's how we're going to implement the furloughs. If everyone has to be furloughed by 1 month, it's not all at the same time. So go ahead and tell people, okay, here's who will be furloughed in the first month. Here's who will be furloughed in the second month. Go ahead and make that planning public. I think that would help inform the public debate so we can make a good decision as a nation about what we want to do.
The civilian workforce cuts would be among the first effects the department would experience if sequestration happens, Harrison says. While the consequences for acquisition and defense contractors would be real, they would not be immediate.
Because on March 1st, if you walk into a factory where they're doing work on a weapon system, all the work they're doing at that point is based on money that's been obligated already. Funding that's already been obligated is not subject to the cut. It's just the budget authority for that year that's subject to the cut. So what that means is in the remaining 7 months of the year, all of these accounts are not going to have as much money left over that they can obligate. So they're going to have to delay contract awards, possibly till the next fiscal year. In some cases, they may have to reduce quantity.
Harrison says it's unlikely that any modernization programs would be canceled. That's because under sequestration, no budget line item is being zeroed out. They're just all being equally reduced by around 9% across the board. What he does expect to see is a lot of contract renegotiations because of the reduced quantities of goods and services the Pentagon will be able to buy. And when quantities go down, prices generally go up.
I'll give you a great example. The Boeing aerial refueling tanker, the KC-46A, we had a contract we signed with Boeing and a rate at which we were going to buy those tankers coming off the production line. Now you're cutting that funding. We can't keep up our end of the contract. DOD is going to have to go and renegotiate that with Boeing. Now, it's been reported that Boeing bid very competitively to win that contract, and they are losing money on the early phases of it. When we have to go as a nation and renegotiate that contract, do you really think we're in a good position to maintain such a competitive price? Or is Boeing going to walk out of that negotiation in a better position, perhaps not losing money on the contract anymore? So you got to look at this, and there are some areas where it really is going to be bad for DOD if they have to sequester these accounts.
Regardless of how bad sequestration will be, Harrison thinks it's more likely to happen this time around than it was during the New Year's Eve negotiations. That's because the deadline to undo sequestration 2.0 now coincides with other elements of the second fiscal cliff, a potential debt default and a government shutdown that many policy experts argue would be even more devastating than sequestration.
I think what is unique about this moment in American history is we've set up deadlines, self-imposed deadlines, where if Congress does not act, if they do not pass legislation in the House, in the Senate, and get the White House's signature, If they don't do it by these deadlines, we could face all of these things happening at the same time within a period of about a month. That's March madness. And that's what I hope we can avoid.
But Harrison says avoiding it is especially unlikely if congressional negotiators maintain their insistence that increases in the federal debt ceiling be matched dollar for dollar with spending reductions.
If you want to increase the debt ceiling enough to give us about a year worth of operating time, that'd be about $1 trillion. If you want to completely offset the cuts in sequestration with other deficit reduction, that'd be another $1 trillion. Putting these two on the same timeline doubles the problem. I'm not confident that Congress can come up with another $2 trillion in deficit reduction by that deadline. Let's keep in mind, with the fiscal cliff, what they ended up passing reduced the deficit by less than a trillion, about $700-800 billion. Look at how hard that was. If we're going to raise the debt ceiling and offset sequestration, it's more than twice as hard. I think that both parties in the negotiations may end up looking at sequestration and say, you know what? This is bad. This is not what we want, but it's probably better than any other deal we could negotiate with the other side.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.